الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله
Assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals regarding the Islamic faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, so you have a pencil, paper, some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic or subject will be Embrace Islam or Embracing of Islam. And so let's go to first, what do we mean by embrace? I want to make sure that we're all on the same page and understand the concept or the meaning of the word embrace. And that's E-M-B-R-A-C-E. Again, E-M-B-R-A-C-E. And it means to take up willingly or urgently, or eagerly, I'm sorry. To take up willingly and eagerly. Whatever it may be that you're taking, that you're embracing, you're taking up willingly, and also you're an eager to take on this, whatever it may be that you're taking on. We're talking about here, we're talking about embracing Islam. Because for weeks I've been talking to you about, really years, about Islam. The Islamic faith, what it is and what it is not, the various components of Islam. Just give you like the tip of the iceberg of various topics. I won't list all the topics. You can always go back and see what those topics are, maybe listen to them. So I'm just trying to clarify for the listeners and my people in my class just what Islam is. You can be told about Islam by many different people. You get many different answers. And some may be correct and some that may be absolutely outrageous and not correct at all. But what I'm giving you to the best of my ability, I've given you from the authentic sources, authentic Sharia, which is authentic source of Quran, if Islam comes from that, and also it comes from Hadith, or the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, what he did, what he said, those kind of things. But I also kind of went into the details about this in one of my earlier episodes. What we're talking about today is basically embracing Islam, where when one, and you're going to see as I go on, when one embraces Islam, things change for them. They have in their life, a lot of things change for them. Not going to get a lot into that, but I will talk about it just a little bit. Let me go ahead and get started. It was narrated by Abdullah, and he said, we have been powerful since Umar embraced Islam. Umar ibn Khattab, he was very well known, very, very strong individual and fierce individual, and wasn't afraid of too many people. And so the thing is, people have respect for him, and we have respect for his ability to be stern as he was. They have respect for that. And so the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he prayed for Umar. There were two Umars, and he prayed for them both. Oh Allah, bring these Umars to us, or this one of the Umars to us, to strengthen us. And so Allah brought him Umar ibn Khattab. Matter of fact, this very man, I'm going to give you a little story about that. This very man, Umar ibn Khattab, he was on his way, to kill the Prophet. Sword in hand and the like. And so he was on his way to kill the Prophet because he didn't like the Prophet at that time, because the Prophet was talking about Allah and changing the society, that kind of things. But then he stopped by, and so he saw this man on the way. The man said, like, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going to kill the Prophet, such and such. And then the man basically said, well, you know, before you do that, you need to stop by your sister's house. Because the man knew that his sister had taken Shahada and became Muslimah. And so he said, oh, okay. So he went by his sister's house, knocked on the door, and she heard his voice, or heard that he was there, whatever way she identified him. So he was reading Quran, and he could hear the Quran outside. And so she put the Quran away real quickly, because she knew his attitude towards Islam. And so he came in, he said, like, what was that you were reading? Basically, I'm kind of paraphrasing it. And then she basically said, well, see, you know, what she was reading. He said, let me see it. You know? So she said, no, you got to wash up first before you read this book, before you read the Quran. Wash your hands, whatever. So he did that. But then he read a particular ayat, or what you would call a verse of the Quran, and it tenderized his heart. He came with his hard heart on his way to kill the Prophet. And anyone know about tenderizing is that, so I don't know if it happens in all countries, but I know in America here, where sometimes when people tenderize meat, they take this thing that looks almost like a hammer, if you will, and then they keep hitting it until it like kind of soft enough and no more stiff. Whatever reason they're tenderizing it, they're tenderizing it. I'm not getting into that. But the thing is, this is what they did. And so it tenderized his hard heart. And then he went to the Prophet, and instead of going to the Prophet to kill him, he went to the Prophet and became Muslim. Took Shahada. Alhamdulillah, Allah touched his heart. That's what it says here. We have been powerful since Umar embraced Islam. Umar, he was tough. The people knew he was tough. Matter of fact, he even went to the Kaaba one day when the people were sitting there. I believe after they did something to the Prophet or some other people that were Muslims. And he basically said to them, look, if you want your mothers to be sonless and you want your wives to be husbandless, touch someone else from Islam. If you want to do that, come see me. Fight me. I'm really paraphrasing a lot. But no one took him on because they knew about Umar. They did not take him on. And so that means that, alhamdulillah, that the people, they did not attack the Muslims like they used to attack the Muslims. They would attack the Muslims all the time, all kinds of ways they would attack the Muslims. Put them in a, sort of in a armor, and then put them on the hot sand on a hot day, and they would kind of roast them inside the armor. But the people did not give up the Islam. They would whip them. They did not give up Islam. They do all kind of things, beat them, whatever. They did not give up Islam. We know the story about Bilal. I know I'm kind of like to the side right now, but hang in there with me. And so they put up his owner, he was a slave, his owner found out he was Muslim, and so he put this big stone that took several men upon his chest, and he told him, give up that Islam. He said, Ahud, one. He didn't give up Islam. And then, matter of fact, they kept doing and doing day after day. They didn't feed him, that kind of thing. And even have some of the local kids, urchins or whatever, they would throw other stones and other things upon him and do things to him. He still did not give up Islam. He was real tough in terms of that. And I have a whole lot of other stories, but I won't get into right now, but because I'm talking about those who embrace Islam. So that's what I'm getting to right now. Maybe one day I'll talk about the various Sahaba or companions of the Prophet, may peace be upon them, and what they went through. And anyone that decides that they're going to embrace Islam, you're probably going to go through something too. You may end up, if you decide to embrace Islam, your parents may disown you. And I don't say that they would. Or a member of your family may disown you. Or your parents may kick you out the house and you become homeless because you became Muslim. They may be the ones that when it comes to their faith, being good to human beings, feeding human beings and the like. But sometimes what happens when a person embraces Islam and a woman puts something on a cover on her head and wear the long clothing, something gets to them underneath their skin and they no longer are religious people as they're supposed to be. And practice their religion the way they're supposed to practice their religion, and then they go and say, you get out of my house if you're going to practice this Islam. You don't eat my food, you're going to practice Islam. All kind of things may happen because a person decides to embrace Islam, but we depend on Allah. We rely on Allah. And this doesn't happen every time, because when I became Muslim, I didn't go through that. By the protection of Allah, I didn't go through what a lot of other brothers and sisters reported to me that they went through because they embraced Islam. I don't want to scare you away from embracing Islam. Not at all. So you say, oh, I fear they're going to kick me out of all that kind of thing. No, that'd be Shaitan working you and whispering to you so you won't embrace Islam. But study Islam for yourself, learn about Islam for yourself, listen to my previous episodes, and you can learn a little bit more about Islam. And I'm going to talk to you all a little later. I want to tell you a little bit about an organization that really good at helping people who are new converts or reverts to Islam. So I'm going to talk about that organization a little bit at the end, but let me get through talking about this particular topic, which is embracing Islam or to embrace Islam. Also, it was narrated by Abu Sayyid al-Khudri. Allah's apostle, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, if a person embraces Islam sincerely, then Allah shall forgive all his past sins. And after that starts the settlement of accounts, the reward of his good deeds will be 10 times to 700 times for each good deed, and the one evil will be recorded as it is unless Allah forgives it. So the bottom line, my beautiful students, is that if you decide to embrace Islam, meaning become Muslim, willingly and eagerly becoming Muslim, then your past sins will be forgiven. You have some that say your past sins be forgiven as long as you don't continue to do them. So you can't continue to do them in Islam, because Islam is supposed to change your character. Because the character is the thing on the day of judgment. Well, we should have excellent character. Carry on the day of character, being your character will be heavy. A good character will be heavy on the scale on the day of judgment. Heavy on the scale of day of judgment. And it might be the very thing that you get into paradise and keep you out the hellfire will be your character. And so I'm going to move on. I just want to let you know, if you decide to embrace Islam, become Muslim willingly, eagerly, as I defined it, it was defined earlier, then Allah will forgive you your sins and give you all these blessings. And even the evil deeds that you may do, Allah may even, he may record it, or Allah may forgive it, to forgive you that particular thing that you do or did. Let me be wrong. On, when he's talking about embracing of Islam, was narrated by Hakim ibn Hazim. I said to Allah's apostle, may peace and blessings be upon him, before embracing Islam, I used to do good deeds, like giving in charity, slave manumitting, and the keeping of good relations with kith and kin. Shall I be rewarded for those deeds? The prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, replied, you became Muslim with all those good deeds, meaning without losing their rewards. This is such a beautiful thing. You're doing good deeds now while you are a non-Muslim. And then Allah bless you to take Shahada and become Muslim. This is a beautiful thing. So rewarding, because one, all your past sins are forgiven. You're like a newborn baby. And then two, Allah in his mercy will also give you the blessings of any good deeds that you've done before you became Muslim. All the gifts, just by embracing Islam, you're given these gifts. You won't be able to see them unwrapped or something like that. But I'm telling you about at least two gifts that you're given by Allah because you embrace Islam, because you became Muslim. And one is Allah forgiving all sins, which I read that to you earlier and then just now, and that Allah will reward you for your good deeds. So it's you're gaining so much by becoming a Muslim. I want to also relate to y'all is that the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings upon him, it said, will we be held responsible for our deeds committed in a state of ignorance before embracing Islam? Upon this, he, the Prophet, and peace be upon him, he remarked, he who amongst you performs good deeds in Islam, he would not be held responsible for them on his misdeeds which he committed in ignorance, meaning before Islam. And he who committed evil even after embracing Islam will be held responsible for his misdeeds that he committed in a state of ignorance as well as in that of Islam. I know I said a lot to you. Hopefully you're not confused by it. But the bottom line is, if you committed something and you were in the ignorance, then the Prophet, he said what he said. He said, okay, here, I'm going to read it again. We will be held responsible for deeds committed in the state of ignorance before embracing Islam. That was the question. Upon this, he, the Prophet, and peace be upon him, remarked, he who amongst you perform good deeds in Islam, he will not be held responsible for them, and misdeeds which he committed in ignorance. And he who committed evil, even after embracing Islam, will be held responsible for his misdeeds that he committed in the state of ignorance, as well as in that in Islam. So it's pretty plain. I hope I don't have to get into explaining that any further to my beautiful students. So I'm going to leave that where it is and just read a few more. And that is, it was narrated by Aisha, who was the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. The people said to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, O Messenger of Allah, here are the people who have recently embraced Islam and they bring meat. And we do not know whether they mention Allah's name while slaughtering the animal or not. The Prophet said, you should mention Allah's name and eat. And so that's the power of mentioning Allah's name when you embrace Islam. It's like it changes you. You question some things because some things we can't do. We, for example, we cannot eat pork in any form or fashion. I know as African Americans, we eat a lot of pork. Growing up, yes, we ate a lot of pork before I became Muslim, alhamdulillah, that had immediately stopped. And that wasn't that hard to do by the will of Allah to stop eating what I used to enjoy at one time. Because Islam, Allah says, don't do it, okay? Then I'm not going to do it. It's just that simple. And a lot of things, when you all decide that you're going to embrace Islam, there's going to be some things that you used to do, that you're doing right now. But the thing is, you don't continue to do it. Because if Islam forbids you from doing it, don't do it. And don't think you can sneak around and do things. Allah is not going to see you. Because you have an angel on your right shoulder and an angel on your left shoulder. The angel on your right shoulder is writing down all your good deeds or good things that you do or say. like even what I'm saying right now, and then the angel on your left shoulder write down your bad deeds or what you do or what you say. Even if I said anything bad now, that angel on my left side is writing it down. And so you can't get away with it. So you decide to embrace Islam. I know it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge. That's why you go to organizations like what I call Embrace for Reverse.org. I get into it a little later on. You go to them and they can help to strengthen you. That's one of the goals of the organization, to help strengthen you. And if you can get to different places here in America, you can always go online and listen to some of the lectures that they have. They have some beautiful lectures, and they're talking about step by step, whatever, and becoming a stronger Muslim. And have a support system. You won't be by yourself, because we're going to be with you side by side and walking with you to the best of our ability. And then after we walk with you and teach you about Islam and that kind of thing, and then it's our hope that you will walk with somebody else and teach someone or someone else that just embraced Islam. And we keep that kind of snowball effect, is that I help you and then you owe me nothing, but I will want you to help someone else. And then after that, pay it forward. I want that person that you help to help someone else, because we all need a little help from time to time. And so that's what I want you all to do. If you decide, and I've been talking to you almost 2 or 3 years now, you decide to embrace Islam, you decide to be Muslim, you decide to take put your finger up and take Shahada and bear witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah to the end, and then you become part of the 2 billion strong people all over the world. Muslims are over the world. You are now entered into a fellowship, into a family of Muslims all over the world. It's about 2 billion of us all over the world. I think it's about 7 billion people in the world, which means that 2 out of every 7 people are Muslim. You get 7 people together, 2 out of those 7 people are Muslim. And if you're in that crowd and you become a Muslim, then you will be one of the people within in the crowd of 7. So I want you, and I'm inviting you even more and more in a stronger way to embrace Islam. I can't make you do it. I can't twist your arm. But I am asking you to come and be Muslim. Understand what Islam is first. Don't be blind. Don't come into Islam blindly. We don't want that kind of activity and you to do that at all. We want you to come in there eyes wide open. Any question you have, ask the questions. Feel in your heart, man, this is right for me. This is what I need. This is what I want. Praying 5 times a day, and remember Allah 5 times a day. That's what I need right now in my life. Instead of doing some of the things that I'm doing, it'll keep me from doing those things, because I can't go before my Lord in that state of being drunk or on drugs or with all those other kind of things. And knowing that Allah is always watching me. Allah can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So Allah knows what I'm doing. I got the angel on my right shoulder, angel on my left side shoulder, writing down my good and bad deeds. Allah knows what's going on. And so I'm just encouraging my students very pretty strenuously, sort of hard, like, and inviting you in a gentle way to embrace Islam and all the changes that happen to you when you decide to embrace Islam. How do you do that? You can always go again to the website that I think I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, and they can help you with that. You can go to embracereverse.org. That's embracereverse.org. Embracereverts.org. and they can give you some information about Islam, support you in your struggle to become Muslim, because Shaitan, the devil's not going to let you be a Muslim. He's going to do all that he can to make you not become Muslim. Whisper to you. You got to put all that clothes on your head and long garment. You don't want to do that. You got to make 5 prayers. You don't want to do that. You have to wash up. You want to do that. You got to fast during the month of Ramadan. You don't want to do that. So you have a choice. Either you can listen to Shaitan or you listen to what Allah wants you to do. Shaitan is well aware of Allah, well aware of his destination when everything ends. Well aware of it in his arrogance. Allah said, bow to Adam, and he said, I bow to that thing. I'm made out of smokeless fire, and he's made out of dirt and clay. He's mud, nothing to compare to me. I'm not bowing to him. And he didn't do it. But then he did ask Allah for respite. Yo, Allah, don't do anything to me right now. I will lead the ones that really not that strong in their deen, I will lead them away. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to give that to you. But you will not be able to lead all of them or mislead all of them. You're going to make it some and be in company with you in the hellfire, but you're not going to get all of them. And that's what I want for you and for myself, my students. I want you to be amongst those that will not follow the Shaitan. Coming to Islam as strong as you can, and do not be one of the ones that follow the Shaitan. Let me read you a couple more things and then I stop. Also, we mentioned a man whose face was covered with an iron mask, meaning he was clad in armor, came to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, and said, O Messenger of Allah, shall I fight or embrace Islam first? The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, embrace Islam first and then fight. So he embraced Islam and was martyred. Allah's messenger, may peace and blessing upon him, said, a little work, but a great reward. That he did by embracing Islam. So beautiful. Just that little thing. A man was going to go out and fight. Say he would have fought without embracing Islam. But he said, no, I'm going to taste Shahada first, become Muslim, and embrace Islam. I'm going to fight. So man embraced Islam, and then he went, and he lost his life. And what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, he said, a little work, but a great reward. He did very little after embracing Islam. Very little. He didn't live that long. But he will be rewarded in abundance. He would have this great reward in the abundance because of the fact that he did what he did, and he gave his life for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah. And a person who dies like that as a martyr, they're in like what they call green birds in paradise, and they can go anywhere they want in paradise, any place. And I believe also they can intercede on behalf of a family, like a person who reads Quran, memorizes the whole Quran. There are some people that Allah would allow to intercede. Say the person is going on their way to hell or something like that, or whatever the case is, then Allah may allow different people to intercede on that individual's behalf. And Allah knows best, so he will allow to intercede or not allow to intercede. So I won't get into that. You can read that for yourself. I do want to read about the organization I mentioned earlier, Embrace. So Embrace is the product of IGNA, which is Islamic Circle of North America. It is a convert-led initiative which service is to empower, integrate, and serve our Muslim convert community by providing safe social and educational spaces which encourage growth, shape their Islamic identity, and equip them with knowledge that they need for their lifetime journey. Again, that organization is called Embrace, EMBRACEREVERTS.org. You go there, and they will kind of help and shore you up and be like crutches to give you the support that you need. and in teaching that you need in order to strengthen you. No matter where you are in the world, you will go online, find out about them, and then get more information about these individuals, those who work hard, people who converted to Islam themselves, helping people that's going to decide to convert to Islam, and not leaving you in the dark with no one to support you and no one by your side. You have been listening to or attending Islamic studies. I'm sorry. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.